Thank you very much. Can y'all hear us all right? Okay. I'm not hearing us too well. This is an old song, but one we just started doing. Called a 9-pound hammer. This 9-pound hammer is a little too heavy for my size. For my size, I'm going on the mountain. Gonna see my baby, but ain't coming back. No, ain't coming back. Roll on, buddy, the trolls are slow. How can I roll if you won't roll? It's a long way to Harlem. It's a long way to heaven. Just to get a little breeze, just to get a little breeze. Now when I'm lonely, you can make my tune fall. Out of number 9 cold, out of number 9 cold. Roll on, buddy, don't roll slow. How can I roll when the wheels won't roll? Okay, bud. This 9-pound hammer that kills John Henry ain't gonna kill me, no, no, ain't gonna kill me. Now when I'm alone, you can make my tombstone out of number 9 coal, out of number 9 coal. Roll on, buddy, your trolls are slow. How can I roll when the wheels won't roll?
All right.
Hi there. You've been circling in or fogging up. Thank you. This is one you can sing along with us if you want to. A tune we adapted to our own style. This one's called Will the Circle Be Unbroken? I was standing by my window on one cold and cloudy. When I saw this nurse come rolling for to carry my brother,
will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home away in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
On the lady, you are holding, Lord, I hate to see her.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting the sky, Lord, in the sky.
All right, bud. Lord, I find hide my soul, and I lead her in the dream.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
This one, and we'll see you about 4:30 tomorrow afternoon at the old stage, and then about the same time here tomorrow night. Hope you don't get rained out. It's an old tune called Foggy Mountain Breakdown.
'A young lady's next, and she ran off to get her dulcimer, and she isn't quite back yet. And I want to tell you about what to expect. How many of you are here just for tonight? Let me see. Well, you better come back tomorrow, because there's going to be too much for you to see. We're going to have workshops over in the tower, over in Nellie Bly's kitchen, down on the old marble stage, on the shady side of the museum, under a chickie over here. Workshops, little mini concerts going while the program is going on the stage. The craftsmen will be over here as usual, and we have some marvelous ones, some of our old tried and true ones, and they'll be demonstrating and selling old-time crafts. Then I think right up there will be a remarkable group of demonstrators. Now, the emphasis this time in that part of the program will be the Tampa Tarpon Springs area. And you're going to see some net makers, some cigar rollers, some tatters, some quilters. Our whip cracker and braider will be up there, and a few more that slipped my mind right this minute. But they are all here, and the program will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning as usual. And we can't even take a break at noon because we have so much in store for you. So we'll just keep going, and the free buses will be running between the parking lot and here, and between here and the food down by the south gate. And all those good victuals, in fact, they're down there tonight, and I hope you'll stop and get a good midnight snack, or you'll hurt their feelings. So, there's Barbara. Barbara Mueller is one of our extra specials. She's been coming a long time. She's an accomplished musician, plays many instruments, and it's always a pleasure to introduce your friend and mine, Barbara Mueller.
Heard so much good foot stomping music tonight. My feet are tired already. Okay. I'd like to change the pace a little bit and sing you a song written by one of our great American troubadours. I reckon she's probably keeping company with Woody Guthrie by now. Her name is Malvina Reynolds. And she wrote songs that touched the important things in our lives. Where are you going, my little one? Where are you going, my darling, my own? Turn around and you're two. Turn around and you're four. Turn around. Going out of my door. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. And you're a young girl. Going out of my door. Where are you going? Little one, where are you going, my darling, my own? Turn around and you're tiny. Turn around and you're grown. Turn around and you're a young wife with babes of your own. Turn around. I'd like to take you back about, 600 years or so to the year 1415, when good King Hal took 10,000 Englishmen to France, fought the Battle of Agincourt, and beat the stuffings out of 50,000 Frenchmen. A little tailor named Benjamin Beaumanoir decided he would go too. And he took the tools of his trade, his shearboard, his scissors, his needle, and his thimble, and turned them into the tools of war. Do you know how the wars began, Benjamin Beaumanoir? Do you know how the wars began, castors away? Do you know how the wars began, when England fought to a man, and the proud tailor went prancing away? From his shearboard he made a horse, Benjamin Beaumanoir. From his shearboard he made a horse, castors away. From his shearboard he made a horse, all ready for him to ride, of course. And the proud tailor went prancing away. From his scissors he made bridle bits, Benjamin Beaumanoir. From his scissors he made bridle bits, castors away. From his scissors he made bridle bits to keep that horse all in its wits. And the proud tailor went prancing away. As he rode across the lea, Benjamin Beaumanoir. As he rode across the lea, castors away. As he rode across the lea, he saw a flea all on its knee. And the proud tailor went prancing away. From his needle he made a spear, Benjamin Beaumanoir. From his needle he made a spear, castors away. From his needle he made a spear to pierce that flea all in its ear. And the proud tailor went prancing away. From his thimble he made a bell, Benjamin Beaumanoir. From his thimble he made a bell, castors away. From his thimble he made a bell to ring that flea's funeral knell. And the proud tailor went prancing away. And that's the way the wars began, Benjamin Beaumanoir. That's the way the wars began, castors away. That's the way the wars began, when England fought to a man, and the proud tailor went prancing away. Now I'd like to bring you about 600 years forward to the turn of the century. I thought of singing something else tonight, but I saw some friends, and they persuaded me to sing this because it just wouldn't do if I didn't. It's an English music hall song, and it needs your participation. And your part goes like this. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. Try it. Be brave. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. That's pretty good. We'll go on from there. Our old cat died last night. The wife said, bury it out of sight. We don't have a yard because we're living in a flat. So what was I to do with the body of the cat? A big brown paper bag I spied and popped our dear old cat inside. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. I went into a pub to have a whiskey neat, and gently laid me burden underneath the seat. Hadn't gotten more than halfway down the town when I heard a voice behind me. "Here's your parcel, Mr. Brown." Well, I had to stop and give the bloody fool a half a crown for bringing me the body in the bag. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. I heaved it in the river, but the hero of some play jumped right in to save it, crying, "Hip, hip, hip, hooray." He says to me, "I don't do this as a rule, and so I'm rather wet and also rather cool. So I had to take me trousers and give them to the fool for bringing me the body in the bag. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. I crept up some stairs, as quiet as any mouse, and gently laid me burden on the doorstep of an house. The door flew open, and a lady dressed in blue says, "Pardonnez-moi, monsieur, but do you parlez-vous?" I said, "Good heavens, no, my dear, got better things to do," and skedaddled with me body in the bag. So off I went with the body in the bag, the body in the bag, ta-ra-ra. As I was going homeward, my feet began to drag, when I thought I felt a movement from inside the bag. I looked inside and heard a plaintive meow. "Don't worry," Tabby said, "it's all right now." And there were seven little bodies in the bag. So off I went with the bodies in the bag, the bodies in the bag, ta-ra-ra. Thank you. I have some bad news and some bad news. This will probably be my last Florida Folk Festival for a long time because I'm going away now for a while to do some study out of state. So although you've got a terrific performer coming after me, I'd like to sing you kind of a goodbye for now song for me. Oh, all the money that e'er I spent it in good company. And all the harm that e'er I've done, alas, 'twas done to none but me. And all I've done for want of wit, to memory now I can't recall. So pour to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be with you all. Oh, all the sweethearts that e'er I had would wish me one more day to stay. And all the comrades that e'er I had are sorry for my going away. But since it falls unto my lot that I must go and you must not, I'll gently rise and softly call. Good night and joy be with you all. Thank you.
Well, we'll miss you, Barbara, and we'll look for your happy return. Our next performer doesn't really need an introduction, but it's always fun to try to introduce him. What is he? He's a comedian. He's a musician. He's a poet. He's Gamble Rogers.
Hello, everybody. Well, it sure is good to see you. see a nice crowd here without having to peer through rainwater. Casey Jones was a brave engineer. He told his fireman not to have no fear. Pour on the water and shovel the coal. Stick your head out the window. Watch the drivers roll. Watch the drivers roll. Watch the drivers roll. Stick your head out the window. Watch the drivers roll. Jiggle's daughter said, before I die, your daddy fix the blind so the bums can't ride. If ride they must, let them ride the rock. Let them put their trust in the hands of God, in the hands of God, in the hands of God. Let them put their trust in the hands of God. Casey Jones said, before I die, there's two more drinks I'd like to try. The doctor man said, what can it be? Oh, well, a hot cup of coffee and a cold glass of tea. Cold glass of tea. Cold glass of tea. I said, a hot cup of coffee and a cold glass of tea. Probably one of the most significant writers about the American railroads was a man named Hughie Ledbetter, known to his intimates as Lead Belly. A very distinctive gentleman who was a veritable motherlode of folklore. He was discovered by a folklorist named Lomax, who encountered him in the Louisiana State Penitentiary, where he was serving a life sentence for aggravated mayhem. He said to Mr. Lomax, he said, I've got a little song here I'd like you to record and take to the governor. It's a plea for pardon. Well, Lomax recorded it on his wire recorder. They didn't have tape recorders in those days, and took it to the governor of Louisiana, whose heart was moved by the eloquence captured on the wire, and he did indeed pardon Lead Belly, who then hied himself across the river to Texas, and within a very short time was incarcerated in the Texas penitentiary for exactly the same offense for life. Lomax came through on another folkloric foraging expedition and encountered his old buddy there in the Texas lockup. And Lead Belly said, Mr. Lomax, I've got a song here I wish you'd take to the Texas governor. Whereupon Lomax recorded the identical song, except for the fact that Lead Belly substituted the name of the Texas governor for the Louisiana governor's name. And he was released again and thereupon departed for New York City. While he was in Texas, he collected this little song, or put it together, I don't know which. And it concerned a legend that was in currency at that time in the Texas penitentiary, simply this, that if the light from the locomotive that came by pulling the train at midnight every night shone through your cell window, you'd get a pardon in the morning. Well, you wake up in the morning, boy, you hear the ding-dong ring. You go marching to the table, poor boy. And it's the same damn thing. Then a food upon the table, boy. Then a fork up in a pan. But you better not complain, poor boy. Gamble. No, you better not fight, cause the sheriff, he'll arrest you, and the boys will put you down. The next thing you know, poor boy, you're penitentiary bound. If you are ever in Houston, child, you better walk right. You better not gamble, and you better not fight, cause the sheriff, he'll arrest you, and the boys will put you down. The next thing you know, poor boy, you're penitentiary bound. Yonder come Miss Rosie. How in the world do you know? Tell by her apron, boy, and the dress she wore, umbrella on her shoulder, had a paper in her hand. Come to see the warden, come to free her man, led the midnight special. There's a midnight special shining light on me. There's a midnight special shining silver loving light on me. You know, back when I was just a kid, I was an expert malingerer. That's one of those neat words. Basically, it just meant that I was real good at getting written excuses to stay home from school and listen to the Lone Ranger on the radio. because even then I was beginning to get just a little bit suspicious of the Protestant work ethic. Now, you know, to really understand the Protestant work, I never really understood it until I met Agamemnon Abramovitz, and he explained it for me just right. He invoked what is called the myth of Sisyphus, or as some people in the Coochie Valley are wont to say, the myth of Sisypris. Now, Sisyphus was an ancient. He lived in prehistoric times. He lived before the Greeks and the Romans, and he was given a life curse. Now, in those days of prehistory, a life curse really meant something because people lived forever. And what happened to Sisyphus was he was cursed with having to push a boulder to the top of a hill. As soon as it got to the top, it would roll right back down again. He'd have to go back and he'd roll it up, and then it'd roll down, and he'd roll it up. He spent eternity doing this. Now, Agamemnon explained things to me this way. He said the work ethic is pushing the rock up and up and up and up. The Protestant work ethic is when you get to enjoy pushing the rock up and up and up. So, somewhere in there, I stopped listening to the Lone Ranger and took up the guitar, and I'd like to try and show you what can happen to somebody when they become a guitar junkie and follow a finger-pick guitar up the road. This 9-pound hammer is a little too heavy for my size, loaded for my size. I'm a-going on the mountain to see my baby, and ain't coming back, no, ain't coming back. Said, roll on, buddy, don't you roll so slow. How can I roll when the wheels won't go? Said, roll on, buddy, pull a load of coal. How can I pull when the wheels won't go? Look out. It's a long way to Harlem, long way to Hazard, just to get a little brew, just to get a little brew. So when I'm long gone, you can make my tombstone out of number 9 coal, out of number 9 coal. Said, roll on, buddy, don't you roll so slow. How can I roll when the wheels won't go? It was not too long ago that I answered the clarion call of the singing highway and set out upon Interstate 95. That sovereign slab of sanctified concrete, surrounded by savannas of saffron and silver strands of sun-kissed sand, with Stuckey signs at every hand. Interstate 95, where armadillo mortality is a grievous national disgrace. Out on the interstate known as 95, where you have to be certifiably loony to retail firecrackers, where the only consolation that awaits the weary traveler is that of awakening at midnight in a godforsaken motel, rolling over and punching a quarter in the relaxerizer machine coin box on the bedside table, and punching the button which inadvertently activates that mystical short circuitry which detonates every south of the border sign between Santee, South Carolina, and Fayetteville, North Carolina. I have a vision of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Neon. Asphalt. heat waves, neon, asphalt, mobile home retail sales offices, a pawn shop, asphalt, neon, an auto parts place, asphalt, neon. And then you've got these sleazy entrepreneurial emporia that specialize in non-clandestine massage and the retailing of these infernal marital engines of diverse description. Fayetteville, North Carolina, where all the Baptist churches have SWAT teams. This 9-pound hammer is a little too heavy for my size. Loaded for my size, I'm going on the mountain, see my baby. It ain't coming back, no, it ain't coming back. Said, roll on, buddy, pull a load of coal. How can I pull when the wheels won't go? Now, I don't want you folks to get the idea that all I do is ride around and look at highway signs. In fact, I have done other things in my life. Agamemnon was my teacher. First thing he taught me was how to chop cotton. He said, let's go in the cotton business. He said, you hold a hole like this and you chop, 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 chop. Well, sir, I chopped a few times. Big rattlesnake struck at me, missed me, hit my hoe handle, scared me to death. I flung the hoe down in the field, ran in. I said, Agamemnon, I am done with this job of work. I'm going into something safe. He said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, let's let's go into chicken commerce. That very day, we went down to Purina and bought 1,700 biddies. Didn't have any place to house them. They lived in the crates the first 19 weeks. They grew and grew, busting the slats out of those crates. Well, sir, it was hard times in the Coochie Valley. We didn't have any timber, didn't have any money for lumber. But we finally did have a hot day. The sun rose up and attained its zenith in the heavens above and shone down in the field where I'd flung down that hoe handle, sorely afflicted as it was with the bite of the serpent. Well, sir, the heat of the sun commenced to swell in that hoe handle where it had been afflicted, and it commenced to swell and swell and swell, and it attained such brobdignagian proportions that we borrowed a caterpillar tractor and we hauled that log down to the lumber mill and got it cut down into 27,000 feet of hickory timber. Built us 26 chicken coops. Chickens prospered. First day of winter, all that wood shrank up and strangled the whole damn chicken crop. Life is hard. Life was always hard in the Coochie Valley. Life's so hard in the Coochie Valley, we used to save our coffee grounds and boil them white and eat them for grits. Well, anyway, there I was in this little place in Fayetteville, North Carolina, trying to put on a show, and there was this case-hardened yin-yang barely hanging on at the other end of the room. I could tell by the tatter-ran appearance of his raiment, by his slab-sided, bug-eyed, generally comatose appearance that he was sorry. I want you folks to understand that where I come from in the Coochie Valley, Georgia, being sorry is a prime virtue, a way of life, a reason to be. See how the ardent pilgrim moves from station to station in this tenuous life, ever upward, ever ascendant, his brow knit with purblind avidity, moving upward, palpitant, he reaches for that gold ring and clutches it to his bosom, and it can truly be said of him, God, he's sorry. Well, sorry is as sorry does, that's what I say. Some of the boys at home talking to one of them said, well, I had a real good weekend last weekend. It was a successful weekend. The other one said, what do you mean successful? He said, well, sir, I drank everything I wanted to and didn't get sick. Now, isn't that sorry? Old boy at home said, well, sir, I'll be 53 years old this month. I believe I'll get married. I'm tired of holding my stomach in. Now, if that's not sorry, I don't know what is. Anyhow, about every 15 minutes, this character's going off like the radioactive groundhog and says, boy, play something by Johnny Cash. I said, mister, I'm a folk singer. As such, I deal in universal truth, the categorical imperative, and cosmic fiat. He said, she. Well, do something. I'm tired of listening to all that. So I played him a folk song. It was a Sunday morning when the bluebirds began to sing. You could hear those hammers a mile away. You could hear John Henry's hammer ring. You could hear John Henry's hammer ring. Captain, I said to John Henry, I'm gonna bring me a steam drill round. I'll put that steam drill out on the job. I'll whop that steel on down. I'll whop that steel on down. John Henry said to his captain, send me a 9-pound hammer around. A 9-pound hammer with a 4-foot handle. I'll whop that steel on down. I'll whop that steel on down. Then I decided to show off, see if he was listening. I looked over, then I went. He said, oh, pick it, white trash. I said, buddy, you got a lot of lip for somebody that spends 40 hours a week being a scuba diver for the Roto-Rooter company. Life's hard in Fayetteville, too. John Henry's mother lay a-sleepin', then knelt down beside her bed. Said he beat the steam hammer to the top of the hill, and now your poor Johnny is dead. Now your poor Johnny is dead. Some say he's born in Texas. Yes, some say he's born in Spain. I don't give a damn where that poor boy was born. He was a steel-driving man. He was steel driving man. And then He cast himself loose from that lee steady of life's moorings and backed out upon that water course of woe begone. Humanity, bestrewn as it was with the flotsam and jetsam of misguided souls, and he came forth like a rudderless coal scow and hove to before my microphone and said, "Boy, are you or are you not going to play something by Johnny Cash?" I said, "Mister, I told you one time, I told you 10 million under no circumstances will I compromise a sacred and pure temple of my precious art." He commenced to rummage around in his trousers pocket with some absorption as I honed my rhetoric and drove home point after convincing point. I said, "Sir, under no circumstances would I consider sullying my reputation." He pulled something out, threw it on the, it was a $20 bill. I said, "Well, so. $20 is a fair price. I am a professional, and this is a negotiated settlement. Business as usual." Well, I heard the train a-comin' round the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, time keeps rolling on. There's 10, that train keeps a-movin' on down to San Antonio. Well, I was just a baby, my mama told me, "Son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns." I shot a man in Reno to watch him die. And I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, all I do is cry and cry. I bet there's rich folks riding and fancy dining cars. I bet they're drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. I know I had it coming, and I can't be free. But those folks keep on moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison and that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I'd like to stay. I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Gamble will be down on the old marble stage tomorrow at 1 o'clock if you want to hear him in a, I think the Liars Club's going to convene down there, and you might want to try to top his stories. But anyway, let me say good night till it be morrow, and be back in your seats promptly at 10 o'clock for a whole lot more. Haven't we had a good time? But there's a whole lot more to come. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Job, the job's not bad. It's like a child's play. Working in the vineyard.